Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
What up, Sharks fans? Welcome to episode 12 of Dudes on Hockey. So, we are 2 weeks into September. That means we got 2 weeks more to go before the season opens. We got news today about the teal and white game, which we're going to talk about in a second. But first of all, Doug, we decided to start a tradition this year.
That's right.
And that tradition is...
Road trip
every year. So every year we're going to go see a road Sharks game. And this past weekend, we were evaluating the prospects, trying not to take too much time off during the week or really any time off if we can help it.
Because our jobs are important to us.
Yeah.
If only this was our job.
Right. Yeah.
But it's not.
It's no, not even close. So we decided, you know, we could do stay in the division. I happened to make my own road trip down to Anaheim last year. But this year we decided, oh, maybe Dallas, maybe Phoenix. But I had the idea of going big. Let's go to New Jersey.
And I'm in.
We're in. We're going to go to the Rock. I think we're going to go to the Rock on President's Day weekend 2009.
That's right.
We can stay in New York City. We can train it out to Newark, get mugged a couple times on the way to the Rock, get mugged a couple of times on the way back to the train.
That's right. See a Broadway show, Michael.
See a Broadway show, probably. You know, go to the NHL store and flip off EJ Raddick during the NHL Live.
Look for it. It's going to happen.
Recording. So, yeah, well, we're going to find a way to do that. So, if there are any Sharks fans in the New Jersey area listening to this podcast, which is probably fairly unlikely, but if there are, drop us a line. We'll be happy to meet you at the tank. We'll buy you a beer. Courtesy of Dudes on Hockey, I can write it off as a business expense because this business makes precisely $0 per year.
There you go. Here we come. Sharks.
Yeah. Speaking of that, another Sharks enterprise on my plate other than the blog, which we write, sharks.hockeyanalysis.com, and the podcast. I mentioned it in a previous show. I'm actually going to be co-hosting the Sharks weekly call-in show here.
Nice, dude.
In the Bay Area.
Nice. Yeah.
It's now officially going to be called Chomp Talk.
Like it.
Yeah. So, and I believe it's going to be on 12:20 a.m. And if it is, that means it will be webcast. So all of you Sharks fans listen to the podcast from the great beyond and the great white north, like our buddy Ian, or perhaps somewhere else in the country or in Canada or somewhere around the world, you can actually stream it over the web. And I will be giving details to that sooner as we get to it. I believe October, the first Saturday in October, will be the first show.
Very nice. Congratulations, dude.
Yes, I had to take some headshots today. I had to take some shots, you know, pictures of myself in a Sharks jersey.
What was your favorite?
There was one of me juggling. I was juggling a Semenov and a Marcel Gotch puck.
That doesn't sound good at all.
I dropped him, it doesn't really matter. It's not like I'm, like it's like a Joe Thornton or a Jeremy Roenick puck. You know, it's like a drop, you dust it off, pick it back up.
That sounds like a Circus Vargas headshot to me, Mike.
But it's, you know, it's me being, you know, being fun.
Come see Michael walk out of a clown car and talk about the Sharks.
Well, your idea was to like have Taco Bell wrappers around the toilet and me holding onto that.
Because I've seen you do that. If we want to be...
That's a story for another day.
If we want to be real, Mike, that's the real Mike.
Right.
Not juggling Mike.
Next to a bottle of Jägermeister.
Memories.
Okay. So anyway, so I'm sure you'll see that photo of me someplace on the web in the near future. But okay, so before we get too far into that, let's talk about the teal and white game. So it was announced it's going to be the night before the first preseason game.
Right.
So at the tank, which is an intra-squad game, teal versus white. It's sort of, I think it's for season ticket holders only.
Right.
And last week the game was, how would you characterize the game last year?
Dull.
Right, okay.
But I'm so hockey starved right now that I'm actually excited for it. I think I'm really excited because we've got so many new faces that it's really going to be our first look at Blake and Boyle and Lukowicz and some of these other kids, you know, Couture, mm-hmm. that we haven't really seen get,
McGinn. We'll see Friesen again.
Right.
And
so
probably.
Right. I'm excited. I think it's going to be fun. and it'll just be good to test out our seats.
It's the right time to do it because everybody's so starved for hockey, they're barely going to care about how poor the game is.
That's why we need the Summer Hockey League, Mike.
It's an excellent idea. You know, speaking of which, we actually have an email to that. We have a specific emailer. Our friend Jeremy actually complimented you specifically on the Summer League idea, which I think could have been your best idea.
Well, thank you, Mike.
Of the five.
And I'm full of compliments tonight.
Yes, yes, quite so. We'll just have to take a couple of headshots of you, and then those compliments will go away, and then I can start making Circus Vargas comments about your photos.
There'll be no juggling in my future.
Just because you don't know how to juggle. You're inadequate.
Makes me a better man.
You're inadequate compared to me.
Bye.
Okay,
my bean bags are bigger than yours.
Oh, I think we'll need photo documentary evidence of that.
Look for those on Chomp Talk website.
Anyway, so getting back to the email, Jeremy says, what's your take on the season opening overseas? Seems to me that none of the teams that have been involved come out of the gates flying. That young hockey players all over the world know about the NHL, so I don't really buy the exposure aspect, and that I'm forced to watch the league's season opener at an odd time. Where exactly is the league opening?
The games are October 4th and 5th. There's two games. Each team plays each other twice. Rangers and Lightning in Prague, and the Penguins and Senators in Stockholm.
Okay.
So there's a game on the 4th and a game on the 5th. Two games, sorry, on the 4th and 5th.
Right. So what do you think about opening overseas and, you know, in exotic locales?
I think that Jeremy's got a point as far as the globalization of the game, and we can see that, you know, because of the wide range of different nationalities we have playing in the NHL, like the exposure isn't necessarily have to be there. And I think if they were going to do something like this again, like, why are we doing it to start the season? Like, can't these guys do an exhibition during the summer or something? Like, why is it got to count? You know, if
yeah,
I were one
no,
of these,
there's no reason for it to count. You're absolutely right about that. Yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, and it's not like there's not other international hockey events. It's not like American football that really only happens in America. I mean, there's the World Cup, there's the Olympics, there's World Juniors, there's tons of international events. And a lot of these guys, maybe they don't always play in Prague, but, you know, they're pretty, a lot, most of the top players are known in the international community, and, you know, exposing them to the wondrous nature of Alex Alden goal for the Senators, you know, I'm not really sure how that exactly sells the NHL. I don't really get that, but yeah. And in terms of the jet lag thing, I just say, you know, guys, suck it up. I mean, you know, the jet lag thing, that's not that big of a deal to me.
If they're there, their last game Sunday, none of these teams plays again until the following Friday, where the Rangers host the Blackhawks, and all the teams do go back home. They don't like send them overseas and then send them on the road,
right,
which would
right.
really suck. So they have several days.
I just don't buy the whole jet lag thing.
But I think I could see the argument of how it could screw you up.
It could mess up
and
the rhythm.
And it forces these teams to make roster choices much sooner than every other team.
True. Yeah, 4 or 5 days before the Sharks will have to on the 9th is when the Sharks open versus the Ducks. So it's a good point. Thanks for the email, JT.
Thumbs down from me.
Yeah, thumbs down from me too. Just bring it home. It's not like the NHL is just kicking ass everywhere here anyway. I mean, there's a lot of troubled markets. Let's clean it up here, make sure the game is nice and healthy here before we start, you know, exporting it to, you know, Eastern Europe and other places. So
amen, Michael.
Okay, so let's go to our friend Ivan Makarov's email, actually about the Sharks. It actually, other than the teal and white game, this might be the only Sharks topic of the night. We're going to be doing a season preview. We're going to be previewing two different divisions in the East tonight. We're going to be previewing one division thereafter each week, culminating in the Pacific Division right before opening day. So look to that for the next few weeks, Sharks fans, and tonight we'll be doing the Northeast and the Southeast. But first, Yvonne's email. First up, have you been to any of the Captain's Ice practices? Any thoughts if you've been? And from what I've seen, Boyle looks like he's now the best dribbler on the team, and Seto is looking strong. I haven't been to Captain's Ice. I actually sort of am considering going to camp, which opens next weekend. I think there's actually Saturday and Sunday sessions. I think all practices are open to the public. So just sort of to answer that question, Saturday and Sunday morning, I'm thinking about going one of those days, actually.
Yeah, I'll go.
It'd be cool. You know, maybe Sunday or Saturday or probably not both, but I just want to see some of the kids and like see how they run the practices and stuff like that. You know, it'll be fun. I can imagine a lot of Sharks fans being there, especially on Saturday. So maybe I'll wait till Sunday, but, that's kind of what I'm thinking. If anybody else wants to go, drop us a line. We might meet you there. The other question is, what are your thoughts on the minus 29 recorded by Boyle last season? Sure, most of it came at a point where the team already gave up on the season was in the Stamkos sweepstakes, but come on, minus 29 in just 37 games. Personally, this scares me a bit. So I did a little bit of research on this. You're right, minus 29 isn't good regardless of how many games you play. As most people know, Tampa Bay was the worst team in the NHL last year. The worst, absolute worst, and they got the number one pick out of it. But the interesting thing is, if you look at the roster, is that most of the wins, or a lot of the wins, came when Boyle was actually out. And I think it actually had to do with one big thing, and that was Johan Holmqvist actually was in goal for most of the wins. He was actually over 500 as a goalie for the Lightning last year. And when he was out, he only played a few games after Boyle came back. And after that, it was Mike Smith and another goalie that were sort of switching back and forth. And the Lightning went completely in the tank. So what I did actually is I culminated some plus minuses from other Lightning players just for those games that Boyle played, actually. So we take out all the other games that Boyle didn't play. So he played four games in late October and was absolutely horrible because his wrist was still hurting. He only played four games after he tried to come back from his wrist injury, was minus seven in those four games, and then you know, shut it down again for months up until January. So for those games, Vincent LeCavalier was minus 20 for those 37 games. Martin St-Louis was minus 32.
Oh my.
Actually worse than Boyle. If St-Louis only played the same games Boyle did, he would actually be worse than Boyle. Vinny Prospel was minus 10. Philippe Kubo was minus 11. And the only plus player on the team, Ouellette, was actually plus 3. But his plus minus was actually much better for the end of the season. So all of these players, plus minus got worse during the games that Boyle played. Does that mean that Boyle tanked the games? Probably pretty unlikely.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think you got to look at the state of what was happening with that team. And like what I have in front of me is, you know, the worst plus minus game he had was a minus 4 and a loss to Carolina. It was a 5-1 loss on, I can't find the date. But if you look at who was playing on the blue line with him that night, you've got Doug Janik. Boy, he's good. you've got Mike London.
Okay.
Lundin. Who?
I'm 0-2 on knowing those guys.
You've got Paul Ranger playing 26 minutes.
Yeah, Paul Ranger's good.
Okay, but 26 minutes? Is he a top two defenseman?
Was he a minus in the game?
He was minus 3.
Okay.
Okay, so you've got...
So basically, their two best defensemen that night were still minus 3 or
worse. They didn't have Kuba in the lineup that night. They had, you know, they got Shane O'Brien running around out there. You know, they were in dire straits. They were a bad team. And I think, you know, you look at Boyle, you've got to more reference his, you know, 53 point minus 8 season in 2005-2006. I think that's what we have to look forward to. Or 2006-2007, 63 points minus 5.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
He plays a lot of power play time, which means that a lot of the goals that he gives up are going to be even strength. And so he, that's what's going to handle the minus. So to answer the question of the email, it doesn't look good. Of course, it doesn't look good to be minus 29 in 37 games. But the fact is, if you take that in context with the rest of the team, it wasn't near the bottom end. Sure, it was near the bottom end. Was it absolutely an outlier compared to everybody else in the team? No. Not even. So Tampa Bay sucked, especially during the stretch that Boyle played. And it wasn't because of Boyle. It was because the team just sucked. They were terrible. And
we're Boyle believers.
Yeah, I'm a fanboy. I mean, I completely admit it. You know, but the reason we got Dan Boyle was not so he could be, you know, plus 40. It was to put up a bunch of power play points into QB the power play. And that's why we got guys like Marc-Edouard Vlasic to be the stalwart defender. So
he's 60 points minus 5, I'll be thrilled.
Oh my God, that'll be awesome. You'll be an all-star.
Yep.
Okay, so there's the emails. Now let's move on to the meat of the show. which is to start our season preview. So we're going to run down the teams in the division. We're doing the Northeast first and then the Southeast, and then we're going to give the rankings of the what they were last year, and then we're going to talk about where we think they will finish this year. So I'm going to do alphabetical by city so as not to give anything away.
Oh boy.
Okay, so let's talk about Boston. Boston finished third in the division last year.
Baston.
All right, so what's the 25-word synopsis of where you think Boston, what you think Boston's going to do this year?
I think Boston has chemistry, and they really kept the team together. When you look at their roster, it's nothing too exciting, but they seem to play well together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's no reason to believe with getting Bergeron back that they're not going to continue to be a over 500 hockey team and mm-hmm. a playoff fringe team.
Right. Okay. Sure. Okay. That's interesting. So I have a list of what they lost and what they gained. They lost Murray, Metropolitan, Alex Hall, Jamnoff, and Chistoff, and they got Blake Wheeler. They got Michael Ryder, and they got our friend Stefan Yell.
Okay. So that's a wash,
that's
right?
That's a wash. They still, in my mind, they still have a big question mark at goalie. Tim Thomas can be good.
Thomas was an all-star last year,
right? But he's 38 years old this year. So is it gonna fall to Manny Fernandez? Is it gonna fall to Tuukka Rask? I don't know. If it does fall to those guys, I can see Boston taking a turn for the worse. But if Tim Thomas manages to stay healthy, plays as well as he did last year, in my mind, there's no question this is a playoff team.
Okay. Agreed.
Okay. Agreed. Let's go to Buffalo. Buffalo finished fourth in the division. They got Rive. That's, from our perspective as Sharks fans, that was their big addition. But they lost Kalinin. They lost Nolan Pratt. They lost Jocelyn Thibault. They lost Patrick Lalim. They got Matthew Darche, another ex-Shark. And they re-signed Teppo Nieminen. And they made some re-signings. So what do you think about Boston? What's the word? What's the good word?
Well, I think in Buffalo, it's the same thing. Distractions linger around this team. They've got some more unrestricted free agents and restricted free agents. They've got Pominville, who's really now the face of that team, who's, in contract talks, the Nod are in, and Nod is going to be the captain, but they don't have him signed. And they took care of Ryan Miller, and why don't they just take care of their players in Buffalo? If you look at the players who've walked out of there and left, if they could have kept that team together, they'd be a top three team in the East every year. And they seem to just let it fall apart. They wait to the end. And I could very easily see them having to deal Connolly, a Finneganoff, at the deadline because they aren't going to keep them. They're unrestricted. And the team, I think they're going to fall short.
See, I'm going another way completely here. If you look at their roster, they kept everybody good on that team. They kept, everybody is still there. Yvonick's still there. You mentioned Connolly. You mentioned the guy you just mentioned that I can't remember.
Finneganoff?
No, the other one.
Ryan Miller?
No.
Pominville.
Thank you, Pominville. Jason Pominville.
You're welcome.
You mentioned all those guys. All their top scorers are still there. All their best defensemen are still there. They gained Rive. They lose Kalinin for Rive. It's a wash. Everything else, they're good.
They lose Brian Campbell. Who they replace? Who's replacing him?
They didn't replace Brian Campbell, but they do have one thing that's really important is they have decent D, they have consistent scoring, and they have great goaltending.
So they basically kept the status quo of a non-playoff team.
Yes.
Well, they kept together the 10th place team. They didn't improve it. They just kept it together. That's what I think.
I have a different view.
I think they've got a lot of talent, but teams that don't take care of their players, it's going to be a distraction. And I think that too many of those guys are going to be wondering if they're going to be the next Brian Campbell sent out of town.
So speaking of teams that didn't, quote, take care of their players, let's talk about Montreal, who lost some players. They lost Mark Streit, who was a big part of their power play, being number one power play in the league last year. They lost Patrice Brisebois, who's been a long-time Canadian. They lost Brian Smolinski, who they only had for a little while, and they lost Michael Ryder. They did gain Georges Laroque, so they gained some rough stuff, and they gained Marc Denis, a backup goalie. This is a team that finished first in the division last year. What do you think? You think they're still there? They're still going to stay at the top?
I think so. I don't think any of those players that they lost, the impact is not going to be felt that deep, I think, on this team, in my opinion. They added Tanguay, too. And I think he's going to help up front some scoring. The only thing too that could be a little bit of a distraction is again another team with Tanguy, Koivu, Kovalev, Bouillon, Dandino, Komisarek, all unrestricted, and all Bob Gainey is playing poker with these guys right now. Is that going to be a distraction to a team that seemed to thrive on chemistry, Mike?
I think it could. I can see this team slipping a little bit. So that's sort of the preview of what I think. I think they'll definitely make the playoffs, but I could see them slipping. I think Streit was a pretty big part of their power play, and I think that they rode most of the year on the back of that power play, and I think if the power play struggles, then this team might struggle a bit. So do I see them making the playoffs? Absolutely. Do I see them winning the division? We'll see in a second.
Oh, my.
Okay. Let's move on to Ottawa. So this is a team that is in major flux. The list of players that they have lost is almost too long for me to list without sounding like the Micro Machines guy. Mazaros, Redden, Stillman, Commodore, Sean Donovan, Martin Lapointe, Oleg Zaprykin, Ray Emery, and our favorite player of all time, Nico Dimitrakos.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Rob Gaudreau.
No, but they re-signed Josh Georges. Actually, no, that was Montreal that re-signed Georges. But anyway, so Ottawa got rid of all these guys. They replaced them with other guys that really weren't as good.
Jason Smith.
Jason Smith being one good player.
Philippe Kuba.
Yeah, Philippe Kuba. They got Alexander Picard for Mazaros and things like that. So what do you, I think this, you know, clearly I'm leaning to the fact that I think Ottawa is going to be pretty bad this year. I think they lost a lot of guys. Their whole team's going to be up in the air. Their goaltending is way up in the air. And I think they're going to really, really struggle.
The first to go will be Jason Spezza. And then Brian Murray will follow him quickly.
So you think they're going to trade
Spezza? You can't blame Wade Redden for this anymore. Like this, they're going to struggle. I think they're going to give up a ton of goals. They're going to score a ton of goals. Their goaltending stinks. Their blue line has gotten worse. And they're already a team with major chemistry issues that I don't think they really solved by, you know, with their coaching choice.
No, not at all.
I think that they're in big trouble. I think that the Senators are going to be disbanded this year as far as the current makeup. I think they're going to have to bust it up. Nuclear meltdown in Ottawa this year.
I think we see eye to eye on this one, which brings us to last and most certainly least in Toronto. They lost probably Matt Sundin. They lost Darcy Tucker, Brian McCabe, and they got a bunch of guys that we've made fun of at various shows, like Jeff Finger and Nicholas Hagman. And
who's going to be better, the Marlies or the Leafs? Mike, who the hell is going to score goals for this team?
You know, actually, the one thing I noticed is that if you take away Sundin, who is their top scorer was Nick Andropov, who had 56 points. That's their top scorer, 56 points. It's brutal. I mean, it's possible that Dan Boyle would be the leading scorer on Toronto if he were there next year. I mean,
not with Ron Wilson's power play. Yeah,
they're going to be in so much trouble. I mean, God, they got nowhere to go. They got nothing.
Well, this is what I think. I think they're going to grind out some wins. Ron Wilson's going to, you know, put his system in there. They're going to play defensive. Toskal is good enough to steal some games. Their blue line is not, like, disgusting, like, terrible. I mean, they've, you know, Van Rijn, Kabina, Caberle, Finger. I mean, they're going to steal some games and be so incredibly boring that, you know, they might, you know, Rip Van Winkle some people into some victories, but they're not going to be good.
I still have them. So let's do where we think they're going to finish. I still think Toronto's going to finish fifth in the division. I still think they're going to be last.
Agreed.
Okay, so fourth, I have Ottawa. Are we agreed on that?
Agreed.
Okay, so third, this is where we're getting weird. I have Boston third.
I agree.
Really? Okay, so you after...
Oh, wait, no, hold on. Wrong.
You said Buffalo.
I say Buffalo. Okay. Sorry.
For a second there, I was going to make fun of you because you mentioned how Buffalo is a 10th place team.
I'm sorry.
Didn't get any better.
I can't read.
Boston being third, especially if they have some sort of goalie injury.
Yeah, I have Buffalo as third.
I actually have Buffalo first. I have Buffalo winning this division. I think that the team will come together. Like I said, everybody that is important to the team last year is still there this year. You're right that uncertainty with free agents may, you know, limit this team around the deadline. But if they're doing well early in the season, I could see those guys hanging on for the playoff chase.
You could be right. I mean, there's no doubt that they have one of the top teams on paper. It's just in the last 2 years, they haven't been able to make it work. on the ice. And, you know, I still think Montreal is going to finish on top of this division. They're too good and they haven't lost any key parts. And I would like to think that Gainey's going to do the right thing and keep this team together. But I'm going Montreal, Boston, Buffalo, Ottawa, Toronto.
And I'm going Buffalo first, then Montreal, then Boston, Ottawa, and Toronto. So I'm going a little out on the limb with Buffalo. I realize that, and I'll probably be eating crow in a few months, but got to keep things interesting. I just like the guys that they got there. And I just, you know, I think Ryan, you know, you can play a strong playoff series on the back of Ryan Miller. So that's what I like to see. Let's talk about the Southeast. Let's move to the Southeast. So Atlanta, do we even need to talk about Atlanta? Should we just move on?
This is what I want to ask you.
Okay.
They only have 8 players under contract for the season, like 2009, 2010. So
it's going to be basically alphabet soup on Atlanta next year.
I think they're going to be the worst team in the NHL.
In the NHL?
They're the worst team. Because you got to think at some point during this year, Kovalchuk is going to say, get me the hell out of here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's just going to bolt.
He's going to get me out of here.
They might try to deal him and do a Campbell kind of thing.
Well, I mean, you would think that if they really want to restock the cupboard, don't you? I mean, because he's going to walk. He's got a year left after this. He's going to walk. So don't you deal him and try and get like 5 players for him and just start over?
Yeah, I mean, you do what they did with Hossa. And you get, you know, guys like Angelo Esposito that they just signed. You know, you get these good young prospects and you say, hey, we got no chance in signing the 50-goal scorer. You know, you got a chance, so give us your 3 best prospects. There's some teams in the NHL that will bite on that. I'm sure.
Edmonton.
so we already know they're going to finish last. Okay, yep. So let's talk about Carolina. Finished second last season, just missed the playoffs. They lost some players. They lost Eric Cole, Brett Hedekin, and a couple of role players in Trevor Letowski and Darcy Hordichuk. And they made a signing that some people have liked in Joseph Melikar, and they traded for Joni Pikkanen for Cole. So I don't know. I don't really see anything to be excited about with Carolina, to be honest.
This is another team that I don't really understand what they're doing. I mean, they trade Jack Johnson for nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got Tim Gleason, who's a, you know, 4th defenseman, mm-hmm. for Jack Johnson, who, you know, I don't even understand what happened with that. And, you know, what are you saying to Stahl, who is your franchise player?
Right.
Hey, listen, I know we're talking about a restricted contract here, but we're going to send you out there with Sergei Samsonov and Justin Williams, and you're going to have a great year. And by the way, Cam Ward sucks.
Yeah.
I can't see another player that's Stahl. I mean, I read today that they're talking about a long-term deal, but why would he want to stay? And I'm not excited about picking in. What, $6 million for a guy who's, what has he done but prove other
he's
than
been
he's
shuffled
mediocre
about everywhere? Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't totally get it. They're not terrible, but I don't get it.
The Southeast, again, is going to be the most interesting division to watch in that sort of anything could happen, but it's also going to be kind of bad to watch because a lot of these teams are really just flat out going to suck. And one of those teams could be Florida as well. They lost some guys. They finished third in the division almost by default because Tampa was so god awful and Atlanta was not far behind. So they lost some guys. They lost Cullimore, Monador, Joseph Stempel, Mike Van Ryn, but they did get McCabe. And they signed Corey Stillman for reasons that I don't understand, but you know, so, but they got a good goalie. They still got a good goalie and Vokoun. So what do you think about Florida?
As much as we've kind of made fun of them a little bit this summer, I think they're going to make the playoffs, Mike. And this is why. They've got a new coach who I think is going to breathe a lot of life in this team. There's a lot of buzz about DeBoer. Is that how you say his name?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And their blue line is decent. I mean, Bouwmeester, Ballard, McCabe, Allen, Boynton. By the way, I mean, Ballard gets a 6-year extension. I mean, talk about the luckiest guy in the world.
He got the same contract as Ryan Whitney, for God's sakes.
So, but Vokoun can stand on his head, and their forward situation, I mean, they've got some young guys.
They got some good young guys there.
I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think they could be like the Minnesota Wild of the East, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like really solid defensively. maybe a decent power play, and Vokoun gets them into the playoffs, and then they lose to whoever they play. But I think that there is actually a little bit to smile about with Panther fans.
I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs, but that's an interesting take. So let's move on to the strangest team, certainly in the Southeast, that seemed to make every possible move in this offseason, and that's Tampa Bay. I mean, we talked about the team before that lost so many players. I mean, this team got so many players. I mean, I have like three lines of players that they got: Mazzara, Stamkos, Recchi, Carl, Wishart, Kolzig, Rodon Verbata, Kochi, Adam Hall, Ryan Malone, Gary Robert. I mean, they basically replaced the entire team. So for me, this whole team is almost impossible to predict. I mean, because half the team is gone. And like now you got all these guys that have never played together before. And you got a new coach who hasn't coached in 15 years. And you got new ownership. It's like, what the hell could happen? Anything. Who knows? You know, do I think they're going to make the playoffs? Yeah, I do. Just because I think this division is weak. And I think that they could steal it. I think they could steal something. You know, I think if Mike Smith gets in a groove, they could reel off some games, especially against division opponents, and I think they'll make the playoffs.
I'm going to say no playoffs, Mike.
Okay.
I think that a really odd mix of some veteran forwards and young, really young D, that I think the young D, their penalty kill could be maybe the worst in the NHL when the season's all said and done. Mm. If you're throwing like Matt Carl and
with Mazzara's, it's going to be the worst.
Well, I mean, but who's going to play with him?
Ranger.
Well, okay. So you're just going to put everything. I wouldn't be excited if I've got Ranger and Mazzara's as my top two. Like with the forwards that I've got going out there, you know, they might score four, but they might give up five. And I don't know. I mean, Tampa Bay, I think you summed it up pretty good. It's the enigma. It's the who knows.
Right. It's some in the first month of the season, we'll probably figure out a whole lot about this team. And, you know, a month in, we might be able to make a much better prediction. But for right now, it's a crapshoot. I'm saying thumbs up. You're saying thumbs down.
It's a sexy pick. Like, you know, hey, Tampa Bay, they sure did a good remodel. But on the inside of the house, is it all broken?
We'll see. Last is Washington. They finished first in the division. Not a huge number of changes, actually. Probably the fewest number of changes of any of the teams in this division. They didn't lose anybody big except for Hewitt, but they did get Theodore. We've talked about that in previous shows. It could be a wash. It could be an improvement. That's a little bit up in the air, but everything else is pretty well nailed down. They re-signed Fedorov and everybody else, and all the core of this team is still there. They re-signed Mike Green to a long-term deal. Obviously, Ovechkin's hooked up for a long-term deal. Backstrom's still there. I like this team a lot. I think they're going to win the division again.
Agreed. And they get Nylander for a full season too, which where he kind of fits into the mix with Fedorov and what they're going to do with them. I mean, you know, they're both centers, sure, but yeah, you know what? Fedorov can really play anywhere at this point in his career, I guess.
Yeah, they put
him
in D last year.
And the big question seemed to be, well, how are both these second line centers going to be on the same team? Put them on the same line. I mean, who cares?
Yeah.
And
or put Fedorov a D.
Right. You know? I think Theodore is going to fit in there nicely, and he kind of had a bounce back last year, and he really thrived in the East before, and he's going to be playing against a lot weaker competition. He might have a huge year this year, like a really big year.
I forgot Graham Mink actually also signed with Washington.
Oh, good.
So, yeah.
Yeah. We don't want to forget him.
We don't want to forget Graham Mink.
So what's the order you got, Mike?
So I got Washington first. I got Tampa Bay second. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I got Florida third. I'm not sure. I don't know if they're going to be the 8 or the 9 or even the 10. I got Carolina fourth, and I got Atlanta fifth.
I've got Washington and then Florida as the two playoff teams from the Southeast. Tampa Bay, Carolina, and Hotlanta.
Hotlanta
is last. I think Tampa Bay is going to be near the top when we start, but the wheels will fall off the bus at some point.
That's certainly the most interesting story of these two divisions that we talked about tonight. Certainly, we're saving sort of the most interesting division in the East for next week, and that's the Atlantic. So we'll be talking about the Atlantic next week, and then we'll be moving to the Western Conference in future weeks. I hope you've enjoyed the season preview. Let us know what you think, and thanks for listening to Dudes on Hockey. We'll talk to you again next week when we're 1 week closer to the start of the season.
Mike, I just want to say I think you juggled all tonight's topics nicely.
Thank you very much, and I'll not put the picture on the website.
See you, Circus Buggles.
show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.